The Voices.Earth podcast series is brought to you by the .Earth domain. In each episode, we shine a light on organizations and individuals who are part of the growing .Earth tribe, as well as those outside of our tribe who are all making our planet a better place. In this Voices.Earth podcast interview, we are speaking with John Gould, who is an aspiring spaceflight historian and writer, and he also manages LivingSpace.Earth, which is a website dedicated to the communication and advocacy of all things related to spaceflight. And John, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you doing, Matt?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us. Certainly excited to talk with you. I am a bit of a space nerd myself, and so are some of the folks that I work with on the .Earth domain. So we always love speaking with people like you that are in this arena. And, you know, before we talk a little bit more about your effort with Living Space, tell us more about your background and where your passion for space flight comes from.
Sure. And I also just want to say it's an honor to be on this podcast. I've listened to some of these episodes and humbled to be in, you know, among these great folks who are doing this. So I guess a bit about me. I'm from Central Florida, and I grew up just an hour or two from Kennedy Space Center and Cape Canaveral, and grew up in watching the space shuttle launches and with my own eyes, and then hearing sometimes we'd hear the sonic booms when they came back too. So space is something that I've loved my whole life, going back all the way to, in fact, my first memory is a shuttle launch, actually. It was a night launch. So then I got around to college age and decided I wanted to study academic history. And out of my own interest, I was still going to space events and conferences and things. And then I realized, I guess, partway through college that the skills afforded to me by getting a history degree could also be applied to spaceflight for things like writing academic spaceflight history, and which is a real field that people get published in, and doing advocacy and journalism and things like that. So that's my background, and that's where I'm coming from.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, it sounds like it's a very personal background for you growing up in Central Florida, especially with your earliest childhood memories being space flight related. That's really neat. And let's talk about LivingSpace.Earth and tell us about the types of stories and content that you highlight on the site.
Sure thing. So Living Space is my website where I share the stories of things that I get to see and do, you know, working in this field and aspiring to be a spaceflight historian. So I cover rocket launches. I cover two launches out of NASA Wallops, which is up on the eastern shore of Virginia, Falcon Heavy launches, the test flight I covered, and other space events. I also do sort of write-ups of these really interesting conferences and meetings and things that generally the public isn't necessarily aware of, but has some really cool information that I think is worth sharing, as well as I've done some book reviews and film reviews. But really, Living Space is sort of the, I guess, I realized doing all of this cool stuff that it's interesting content that could be shared, and there's plenty of people out there who are so interested in space flight, and they love the idealism of it and the hope that it gives and everything, but they're just sometimes it can be difficult to find really up close kind of insider information on what it's like to be around these people doing this cool stuff and those who have in the past. I never expected it to really kind of pick up, but I have a pretty solid readership and it's really neat.
Oh, that's great. That's great to hear about the readership too. And in terms of the goal for LivingSpace.Earth, I mean, obviously it's a wonderful platform for education and advocacy too. Are you also using it as a vehicle to potentially propel your career as a thought leader in the space? Pun intended there, space.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of a secondary effect of doing this. Primarily, I want to share this neat information, but also it's helping me tune my writing and it's helping me, you know, network and outreach and meet really interesting people. So yeah, I would say the answer to that would have to be yes. And Living Spaces definitely has a lot of potential in reach and the scope and things it can do.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm going to go off script a little bit here as somebody who covers the space flight arena. What is your perspective on humanity going out to different planets, you know, colonizing Mars and the moon and stuff like that? We've certainly spoken with other astronomers that have .Earth related websites that are awesome. And they say it might be a little challenging for humanity to do that. Do you have any insights on where we may go when it comes to space?
Sure. So there's a lot of hype surrounding it. People like Elon Musk are really very good at getting people excited about this field. And I think rightfully so, because that potential does exist. But there are some challenges to be figured out in terms of logistics and in terms of funding and reasoning when it comes to things like colonizing Mars, which it's a really nice phrase, but it involves a lot of challenges. Being up close to some of the people who, you know, whose job it would be to address that challenge and find a way to actually do it. I think we have a ways to go until we get to that point. But in the meantime, there are some really exciting things going on, like returning to the moon using public-private partnerships instead of a fully government-funded and mandated program, which is really just goes to show that we're in the midst of a big change in terms of how this is actually done.
Yeah, and that's the impression I'm getting too when it comes to the moon. It seems like there is a renewed focus on it, which frankly I find to be really exciting. So let's talk a little bit more about that. Like, tell us about some of these efforts to get us back up there and what's going on with that.
Sure. So the moon has become the focus again as the International Space Station, which is in Earth orbit, starts to age and is planning on retiring it in this decade. You know, we have people are pushing for a new sort of national space challenge, and the current White House is very interested in returning to the moon with the program that they're calling Artemis, which Artemis is the sister of Apollo. And obviously the Apollo program is when we first went to the moon. So it's the goal of getting both men and women to the moon and the first woman on the moon. And what they want to do is use this thing called the Lunar Gateway, which is sort of an orbiting lunar space station that multiple users can access. So NASA and their vehicle Orion can go, and then SpaceX with their Dragon or other spacecraft and another company called Blue Origin can all use this sort of orbiting lunar space station, which they call the Gateway, and go to the moon for various purposes. So the United States, the national effort, Artemis program, wants to go back and do some exploring and some scientific research. SpaceX and Blue Origin are interested in, more so Blue Origin, I think, are interested in a lunar economy, which is sort of a buzz phrase right now. People are looking for ways, or they're becoming interested in ways, to find lunar resources like lunar rocks and dust, things profitable somehow. It's still very conceptual, but if it can be done in a affordable way, the moon has the potential to sort of be an expansion of Earth's economy.
Oh, that's great. Awesome insights there. I did not realize that they're planning kind of a lunar station to orbit around the moon, which makes logistical sense, but fascinating stuff. And then in terms of the moon, why do you think we haven't really been focusing our resources on that over the past 50 years or so? It's just budgetary reasons or just lack of interest in leadership during the past 50 years? What's your take on us not doing much recently?
Yeah, you know, that's a faceted question. I would say that funding is always the issue, because a lot of presidential administrations have said that they're interested in revisiting the moon. The first notable time was George H.W. Bush, and then George W. Bush, of course, and now President Trump are all really interested in it. And it comes down to congressional funding. Can we get Congress to fund this? And then public opinion, you know, unfortunately as well, because really, if we look at the polling data, really the only time the support for space exploration was above 50% of the American population was Apollo 11. So that first time landing on the moon, you know, finishing the Cold War narrative, beating the Russians and all that 60s stuff is really the only time that the majority of Americans have supported actual space exploration. Now, space science, on the other hand, has a lot of support. So what we see is Congress and NASA aiming for space science, things like the space shuttle and the space station, where we can go up there or put satellites up there, do experiments in space that can benefit humanity directly.
Excellent. That's great insights there. Appreciate that. That certainly puts it all into perspective. And let's shift a little bit here. So livingspace.earth, you use a .earth domain name. What made you choose .earth?
Yeah. So, I was putting my website together and looking for domains to use, and .com didn't seem right. I'm not a commercial entity, and neither did organization. I'm just one guy. And then I saw .earth, and that was it. I knew immediately. And it's because spaceflight, there isn't a single person on Earth who doesn't benefit or isn't affected somehow by spaceflight. And spaceflight, if we can get into the philosophy and sort of the humanities angle on this, is Earth or humanity, what have you, going outside and looking back at itself. So space, you know, whether it's done by a private company or a national entity, ultimately is a reflection on all of humanity. So I think Dot Earth is a really, really wonderful domain to use, not just for spaceflight, but for other things. And like I said, you've had some great guests on this podcast who are all, you know, real dreamers and have really, really ambitious and such positive goals.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for those insights there. We always love to hear how people came about and found Dot Earth. And a lot of times it is that they stumble upon it and then they have a reaction like, yes, this immediately makes sense. This is perfect for the vision or the mission behind my efforts. So thank you for that, John. Great insights and great feedback. And so, John, what does the future hold for Living Space and for yourself?
Yeah, so, you know, as I said, Living Space has a lot of potential to cover different things. Recently, I've been getting really interested in space policy with the upcoming commercialization aspect and with our most recent space treaty having been signed in 1967, and then with the United States not being a signatory of the Moon Treaty, which is a convention that other countries are using to define lunar resources and lunar exploration. This is going to be a real question in the future. So I'm sort of looking at that. I would love to, you know, I have an undergraduate degree. I'd love to go to grad school and get a degree in something like space policy and orient myself in that direction while still doing spaceflight history, which is really important. As you know, we have a, you know, the Apollo generation, you know, unfortunately, we're losing more and more people, and more of the American public is becoming sort of unaware of the history and what happened. So that's something that I definitely don't want to lose sight of, but also just spreading the inspiration and letting people know that space is here and it's doing really important things.
Awesome. You know, John, it's been a pleasure speaking with you and very enlightening. I feel like I learned a lot and I hope our listeners do too. And before we sign off today, is there anything else to add or anything we may have missed?
Well, I mean, obviously, thanks for having me. It's been a real honor to speak with you today, and I hope people have learned a lot, and check out Living Space if you want to learn more. And I guess I'll leave you with this. There's a lot of people out there who want to become involved in spaceflight. I was one of them. You know, I was this sort of kid historian that wasn't really sure how to get into it. But you don't have to be an engineer. You don't have to be a pilot. You don't have to, you know, be really good at math or any of that stuff that would seem to make sense. What I've seen working up close and doing this now for 4 years is that you can do anything. It doesn't matter. As long as you're really good at it, there's a place for you somewhere in the space industry. So, you know, don't lose sight of your dream if you're not a scientist and you want to get involved with space.
That's great. Awesome parting words. And one of my daughters is certainly fascinated by astronomy, and I think she probably is daunted by math, the math part of it. So your parting shots there are really awesome. That's great. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Voices.Earth podcast interview with John Gould, who's an aspiring spaceflight historian and writer. And he also manages LivingSpace.Earth, which is a website dedicated to the communication and advocacy of all things related to spaceflight. And John, thank you so much for your time today.
Hey, thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this segment. Dot Earth is a real live internet domain that anyone can use. Listeners can go to our Voices.Earth site to find out what others are doing with their unique Dot Earth domains. Through Voices.Earth, you can also secure your own Dot Earth domain name through all major registrars.